Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's call. My name is Kurt Mortensen, where we talk about influence, persuasion, negotiation, marketing, all of the above. Welcome those that are new. Those are across the world. Those are listening to Skype via the internet. And those who are alive on the call. Just remember, this is being recorded. We'll be posting that and any notices on ywhypersuasion.com. Give us 24 hours to do that. Those that are posting questions, you can post those through ypersuasion.com, or you can, especially those on Skype, where we get the feedback. I ask your questions via that, or if you're live on the phone, you can answer them that way, too, as we go through this. As we spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes talking about a topic, and then your job will give you homework and how to apply it this week. Learn a couple tools a week, and then we'll open it up for questions about today and then what things that you're running into. And we've been talking a lot about the laws of persuasion the last couple of weeks, and I want to get into a big law. They're all important. And this one's particularly important when you are trying to gain credibility. The law we're talking about, and this will be out of magnetic persuasion, is the law of social validation. You have to remember as a persuader that they will always believe somebody else before they believe you. You know, I'm telling you that's fair. I'm just talking about reality here, that a lot of times when you don't have credibility, when you don't have trust, you need to borrow it from somebody else. And with social validation, what we do know is that the greater number of people that find any idea correct or product correct, the more correct it is. It's the social norm. And we seek to find others that are doing to validate what we're going to do or what we want to do. And that's why we hear it, the fastest selling, the largest, the best. And that's what we see, especially with movies. You look at movies. What movies do we see? What restaurants do we go to? Someone recommended it. It's the number one. It has the line. That's how we're programmed. And we need to realize that's true with our prospects, that we need to borrow credibility through social validation so we can do that. So with this, people want to belong. They want to be part of a group. And so you need to take a look at your product, your service, your idea, your website, whatever you're doing right now. How do you make it the most popular? Even if it's in the northwest area of a certain city, it's the most popular. It's the best selling. It's a current trend. Excuse me. It's a high demand. It's the norm. It's industry standard. That social norm. We even see that with real estate, for example. Just by saying, well, this is the standard contract. This is the standard way of doing things. This is the norm, the industry standard. That's very persuasive because if it's a standard, it must be good. It must be okay. And that's how the human brain works. So you have to look at yourself and realize, okay, what can you do to add value? You know, if you've ever been to a restaurant before, you walk in, you're hungry, you're excited to eat, and you walk in and you're the only person there. And you're like, oh, you know, do you leave? Do you stay? Now, if you do stay and the restaurateur has been trained, they will put you right by the window or the door where other people can see you. We see this now with Yelp. It's an online app. You could use it on your phone app that you can look at restaurants and see reviews. Well, 14 people out of 15 like it, it must be good. Now, the challenge is the negative aspect. The one negative always has so much power. In fact, you have people going out and blackmailing restaurants and saying, look, you better give me a free meal or we're going to give you a bad review, which is terrible, which is blackmail. But to the owner, it's like, oh, what do you do in that situation? And we have to be careful of that. So let me give you some other examples. We see it with restaurants all the time. We know that even people playing a guitar on the street or a bartender or will what they call salt the tip jar. They'll put dollars in there before they even start playing because that's social validation. Now, other people are giving tips. I need to be giving tips. We also see this in DVD stores. You know, when they rent DVDs, they found a lot of people would go to the return bin to see what other people had rented. And so they would take the older movies, which are the most profitable to them, and put them in there, and people would start taking them out of the box because other people read them, they must be good. Blood drives. If you can show pictures of other people giving blood, increases the number of people that are doing it. One of the biggest ones everyone needs to do is actually the top two, is you need to take a look at referrals. A lot of your business, I'd say at least half your business should be based off referrals. That is social validation. And you know there's very little persuasion resistance with that. Someone refers you, hey, you should work with them. And the other aspect of that is testimonials. You can never have too many testimonials. You need to collect them. Even if you had on your website 100 testimonials, that's great. Just the sheer quantity gives you credibility, gives you validation. And that's important for you to understand when we talk about the testimonials and the way you do testimonials. We'll talk more about that next week as far as the right way to do that. But collect testimonials. People are more than happy to give you testimonials when you do it the right way. So testimonials is a great way to do that. That's borrowing credibility. I know when I was a first-time author that, you know, there's not a lot of credibility there because it's the first time. Now when you start coming out your third, fourth, fifth book, things like that, it's much easier. And so it was interesting, did a little market research. You go to the bookstores and you see people that would look at the book, any book, talk about any book, and they'd look at the front cover and they wouldn't even open it up. They would look at the back for testimonials. And so I made sure that I went after, you know, Stephen Covey of Seven Habits, Brian Tracy, Robert Allen, Mark Victor Hansen. And if you respect and like those person, that was borrowing credibility from them. I did that through testimonials. If I'm doing a seminar, I made sure someone give video testimonials. And we'll talk about the right way to do that next week. But your job is to borrow credibility. Because even though you're a good, trustworthy person, doesn't mean people trust you. And so the more people that say you're good, you're great, you're honest, you exceed expectations, you're going to help them make money, the easier it is to do that. That's why even a simple thing like a college professor at Stanford was looking at internet downloads, you know, the top 50 downloads. They took number 50, artificially inflated it to number 1. Made number 50, the worst one, to number 1, and it stayed at number 1 because if it's number 1, it must be good. We walk into a bookstore, we see the New York Times bestsellers, we see the top 20 books. If it's good for most people, it must be good. If it's good for Oprah, it must be good. If it's not good on the New York Times bestseller, it must be good. So how do you do that with your product or service? You make it number 1, best-selling, the trend. That makes us easier because we don't have time to make all these decisions. Because if 4 out of 5 dentists recommend it, that's okay. That's all I need. Don't go through all what's the ingredients. Don't go through all the benefits. 4 out of 5 dentists, that's enough. That is social validation. That's social validation from experts, which even takes it to the next level. And that's what you're looking with social validation. Now, understand, there's the negative side to this, too, which is called bystander apathy or diffusion responsibility, that when you get the way you persuade a group tends to be very different than you persuade one-on-one. There was a famous study done where a student went into a room to take a test. They started pumping smoke underneath the door, right? And they, whoa, whoa. And most of them, 70% of them, went to go get help. But then there was 3, 4, or 5 people in the room, and most of, they were all Confederates except for one. I mean, they were in on the study. And so the smoke would come in and nobody would move. And the one person that didn't know what was going on was looking around. No one else is moving. Must be okay. And only when there's 3 or more, only 38% went to help. And so it's kind of different sometimes. That's why it happens a lot of times that nobody calls 911 during an accident. It's not that they're bad people. It's just that they thought somebody else has done it. And we could talk about way. It's also called de-individuation, to where we act at a concert or a football game or in groups is much different than we're doing. So that's another scenario. Persuading a group tends to be a little different, but it's critical to have that social norm, that desire to belong. Because most people, depending on the study, be 90 to 95% of people want to be part of a group, want to be part of that. The other 5%, mostly probably teenagers, I guess, but that is social validation. And it works out very well. We see it in donation plates. We even saw it in, I was analyzing a website, and I had them add one thing. So they list a series of prices there, and they wanted the best value was the most expensive, and we just put on there, this is our most popular option. That simple increased sales. And an interesting thing that happened to me, I was in New York visiting my publisher. They got me some show, wanted to give me a ticket to see a Broadway show. You know, I enjoy that. wasn't sure what to see. I'd seen a lot of the ones that were there. So there's this one show that had won all these awards. So if it won all these awards, it must be good. Well, it wasn't. It was terrible. I didn't like it. I was going to leave. It was halftime. Well, anyway, there's my brain. Intermission. And I'm like, this was terrible. Do I stay? It was expensive. And so I stuck around. And it was getting worse. And so I could tell it was about to get over. I'm like, whew, I got to leave. What am I going to do? And then I start people walking down the steps. I'm thinking, why would they come with 5 minutes left? We strategically took seats, about five or six people throughout the theater. And at the very end, these five people all stood up and started to clap. And the people around them stood up and started to clap. And before I knew it, I was up and clapping, going, this was terrible. They're known, it's actually a French term called claques, where they had planned people to do that. So if everyone's giving a standing ovation, everyone's thinking it's good, and a lot of people didn't think it was good, but it got a standing ovation. That is a classic sign of social validation. So that is what you're looking for with social validation. So who can endorse you? Who can refer you? How can you be at the top of the list? How can you be the best? Remember we're talking about, is it popular? Trend, high demand. So that's by me. This is the number one restaurant. This is the number one Greek restaurant. This is the number one rib place. This was voted, you see, this voted the number one dentist 4 years in a row. That's all we need. Remember, they're going to believe others more than they believe you. Like, let's kind of go into that as far as some ways that will help you out when you do this. So whether you're doing a website or doing real estate, you need testimonials. It's critical that you get testimonials. Now, if you just ask for a testimonial, they'll give you one. But a lot of times it's not that good. You need to coach people on their testimonials. First of all, I mean, the rule is you're always asking. And that's the expectation. You know, when I exceed your expectations, I'll ask you for a testimonial. I'll ask him up front. Because you never have enough. But here's the thing that's important. Make it easy for them. Oh, yeah, I'll send you a testimony. Their life gets busy. Maybe they don't think they're good in English. They're not sure what to say. They've never done one before. Hey, can we get your testimonial? Get a camera out. Boom. We'll ask him a few questions. But you have to ask them the right questions. Otherwise, you get some strange testimonials. Maybe you want to write it for them. Well, great. But would it be easier for you if I wrote it for you and I'll run it by you based on our experience together? You write it, they'll change a few words, they've endorsed it, it's done, it's easy. You can record it, you can take a little video of it, you can do it for them. This is all legit, because you're going to bounce it off them, you're going to show them that their experience. Make it as easy as possible. You'll get a lot more testimonials. Because if 10 people say, sure, I'll give you a testimonial, you might get one. But if you say, okay, let's do it. Would it be easier for you if I wrote it? Oh, can I ask you a few questions on video? Okay. Well, I don't want to be on a video. Well, that's okay. I'll just transcribe it and bounce it past you. But audio, well, here, let's call my voicemail right now, and these are the things I want you to say, and then record it that way. Make it as easy. And I'll, you know, say, I'll fix it up, and I'll fix it, and I'll run it by you. Do that. You look at infomercials. Infomercials have a 90% failure rate. These are expensive things to produce. And if they fail, they bring it back. And what they do is they add more testimonials, more social validation. They'll put in somebody from, this won't name any states here, somebody with no teeth saying, ah, I made $40,000 in 2 weeks. And you're like, man, wait a minute. If they can do it, I can do it. And that happens a lot. So we need to be able to do that with ours, any type of testimonials. Now, let me give you some ingredients here to ask for. So we're asking for these. What makes a perfect testimonial? There's actually five things. The five main things of a testimonial that makes it perfect. Now, let me just kind of clarify here. Usually you won't have all five, all right? Usually. Every once in a while you will. But if you get two, great, three, better, four, that's great. The more you can have within a testimonial, the more powerful it is. So rare that you'll get all five, but the more you get, the more you can use. Because I've received some testimonials from the California prison system. You know, I appreciate it. Unsolicited, I can't really use it. From my daughter's third grade class, it was great, it was appreciated, can't use it. So if you just ask them, sometimes you'll get some good ones, but if you can coach them a little bit, tell them what you're looking for, ask the right questions, it really increases the power of that testimonial. So here, get your pens out. And here they come. The first one is some type of income or benefit claim. Now, some industries don't like the income claims. Sometimes you have to be careful what you say. But if you can show, and if they can say, you know, I got into this and I made $30,000 in 2 months by spending 5 hours a week, that's powerful. Or the benefit claim, you know, I'm healthier, I'm happier, I'm sleeping better, I have more energy, I'm more vibrant, my kids don't talk back to me anymore, we're a happier family, I sold my home in 2 weeks, whatever it is, that's what you're looking for. So that's the first one, some type of income or benefit claim. The second one is, I am like you. There has to be some type of connection there. I was living on the street, or I was broke, or I didn't know what to do, I had no energy, I was overweight, to where you want the person reading on, hey, that's me, I'm like that too. Or, you know, I was a chiropractor, wasn't making that much money, or I was an inmate in the prison system, or fill in the blank. The more that you can create, talk about your before, their before picture, I mean, where they are, they had all this pain, it wasn't working out for them. Then when you talk about the after picture, it's easier to connect, there's more credibility. So the more you can focus on them, if you're doing a specific market, like chiropractors or people that are broke or people that aren't healthy or people that need to sell their homes. I couldn't get anybody to sell my home. It was on the market forever, and I didn't know what to do. And then, wow, this happened. And the person ran, hey, that's my house. There's that instant connection and credibility. The third thing is information, or you may call it their full name. Basically, the more information you can tell about the person, the more credible it is. That's what I'm saying. If you just have a testimony that says Bob or JB, and that's it, people are so skeptical, like, wait a minute, but if you have their full name, even their middle name, that's great. If you can have their full name and a location, even better. Full name, location, and a photo, even better. Full name, location, maybe even a video. Because you look at the trend, text is great, audio is better, video is even better. So the more media, the more information that you can have about that person. Now, that person might not want to give it all out. I mean, if you start putting mother's maiden name and social security numbers, probably too much. And they probably won't like it, but the more you can add, just a quick, even a photo makes the testimony a lot more credible. So that's number three. The fourth one is it believable? Now, we always tell the truth. We know that. But the truth isn't always believable, especially when you're, you know, with persuasion, helping people double and triple their income, or with real estate where they can quickly make $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Now, if someone doesn't know anything about real estate and don't understand the techniques of real estate, making $50,000 in 2 months might be too much for them, depending on who you're going after, who your target market is. So is it believable? That's important. It needs to be believable. Again, always truthful, but believable. And the last one is the credibility of the testimonial. Do they know the person? Is it a friend? Is it a movie star? Sports hero? You mean you put Tiger Woods, well, it used to be Tiger Woods, I don't know, or Michael Jordan. People that they like and respect, that's credibility. Was it a CEO of a big organization? Is it someone they know? Because remember I talked about, back in the book, Robert Allen, Stephen Covey, I've gotten Larry King, other authors, their credibility. So that helps me out when they recognize a person, they know who it is, especially if I was going after a niche. maybe I was mentioning chiropractors earlier, and I mentioned they maybe the president of the largest chiropractic school said this, that enhances my testimonial. And so that's the thing. So to recap, income benefit claim, number two, I'm like you, three, information like the name, photo, location, number four, is it believable, and number five, credibility of the testimonial. So what I want you to do is I want you to start thinking about getting more social validation. What can you do to make it socially acceptable, the trend, number one, the most popular, and what you are doing? And start thinking about asking people for testimonials. What can you do to get them to endorse your product or even give you referrals? Because in most businesses, it should be referral-based. Hey, you should register for this newsletter. Hey, you should look at this product. Hey, this changed my life. Really builds credibility. That's why network marketing is so popular, because it's all based on referrals and the past credibility of other people. All right. So that's what we're doing today. That's what we're talking about. We will be opening up for questions. Again, those doing Skype. Well, those on the replay line, I know there's a lot of you doing that. You'll have to email those to me now. Those listening via the net, you can send those via ypersuasion.com or get asked over the phone line. And I'm getting one here. It's talking about as a real estate agent, how can you increase social validation? Well, the big one there, of course, is getting referrals. You could also get testimonials or even pictures of the people that you've done. I know Saturn did this. When you bought a Saturn, they took a Polaroid. And when you went into their dealership, hundreds and hundreds of pictures with happy people smiling with their new cars. That's social validation. So if you can do that, maybe have a notebook. Some people carry a notebook of happy people. You can put it on your website. That can work out really well. But I even ask, when you exceed expectations, ask, you know, a couple other people, yes, two or three others that are trying to sell their home, and they'll usually give you one or two, will help you out there. You always ask. Because I have a question here about getting more referrals. The big one is you ask, and you expect it, just like you do with the testimonials, and maybe kind of brainstorm with them. Do you know anybody in this situation? Do you know anybody in this situation? Do you know anybody that's trying to sell their home, or their home's going to foreclosure, or they're trying to do a loan mod, will be helpful to you also. Good question. Another question here about people that go against social norm. I mean, they're out there. They'll go the opposite. They might want to argue. These are trendsetters. A lot of times, they're your innovators that want the very first Apple product before anyone's ever tested it. They want to be the first. It's rare, again, 5 to 10% of the population. And to them, social validation is not going to be important. But you still need to have it for those that do. It's the majority of the people that you're going to talk to. They want to know it's the standard. They want to know it's the norm. I mean, think about it. You go to a restaurant, you're not sure what to order. There's so many options. You're like, well, what is the most popular item? What do most people order? What is the chef's most popular or favorite? What is your favorite? You know, that's all social validation. Those are all things that you're looking to do. Any other questions? All right, here's a question here talking about number of testimonials. Now, I did say you could never have enough, but you always put your best ones on the top, but if there was just the sheer number, now if you had 2,000, I think that would be great. I mean, you don't want it bogged down too much. If they read them all, great. You probably want 2,000 of them, but if you had just the quantity matters, this is what I recommend. I get a question here about how long is a good testimonial. And, I've received one, two pages, and I'll take a paragraph out. Even a paragraph tends to be long. A couple sentences or a sentence is great, as long as you highlight and underline the ones that are the most important. So if there's a certain phrase or a benefit claim, bold it, highlight it, and that goes into embedded commands. But highlight, underline it, the most important for things for them to look at is definitely. But if it's you did get a two-page, hey, good for you, that's great, but no one's going to read it. Pull out a sentence, pull a couple of sentences where you can maybe even put a paragraph, but highlight the important sentences, the important points. That's what you need to do. I wouldn't post a two-page testimonial. Again, it's flattering. I appreciate when I get them, but I can't use that in a situation to where I need it in a marketing on a website or to promote a seminar. That's something completely different. And the best time to do it, for example, if I'm doing a seminar, the best time to get the testimonials is right after the seminar, not an email afterwards, not 2 weeks after. You still get them, but they're there. It's just happened. I'm more than happy to do it, and that goes a long way with that. So that's important. So go out there and look to validate yourself. Get more testimonials. How can you make this the top product? And it can be, again, the best rib joint in northeastern Henderson, Nevada. I mean, that's kind of pushing a little bit, but then you still can, you know, narrow it down to where it is the number one choice of those that like to play Yahtzee or ribeye, whatever, or not, Yahtzee or whatever the game is, and you can narrow it down that way. And that's kind of important to understand as you walk through this. All right, any other questions out there, let me know. So this is being recorded. It'll be posted at whypersuasion.com. So that's our call for the day, and we're going through the different laws of persuasion. And that's the key here. So let's learn a couple of techniques. Let's apply it this week. It becomes part of you. It comes second nature to you. And that's how it works. So with that, everyone have an incredible week. And we'll talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.